I wanted to tell you about the sponsor of this Just M episode, and it's the Phonics Museum. So I have a son, and he did this with potty training, and he's doing it with reading. He just doesn't feel like it applies to him. He thinks it's a great idea for other kids, but no thank you all the same. I have not found anything to get his interest regarding reading at all. But I'm telling you, Phonics Museum has been amazing. So Phonics Museum was created because they know that teaching kids to read at a young age is one of the most important things that anybody can do for that child's future academic success. But it can be overwhelming and challenging, especially when you got a kid like mine who thinks, yeah, that's actually not one of my priorities, Mom. So I have my son try it, and he, even without knowing he was saying it, after every activity, he said, "This is fun." And then he'd go to the next activity, and he didn't even know that anybody else was around, but I just kept hearing him over and over say, "This is fun." I am super thankful for the Phonics Museum. They are offering a 2-week trial to Mom Struggling Well listeners. So if you go to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW, you'll be able to try that for free and see if you can't get your kids interested in reading. So head to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW and have a look at what it's all about. I think you're really going to like it. Welcome to the Just M segment of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is episode 10. We have been going through John, and we are now today in John 3, and we're going to do verse 31 through 35. So we're just taking tiny little parts of the Bible, talking through them, trying to make it real, trying to make it interesting, but kind of let you know you can get in there and learn some things, and it doesn't really take that long. I just want to say, it's so weird. Something funny that I did not expect about being a podcaster is how much I would really dislike recording. Isn't that kind of the opposite of what should happen when you make up a job and then you realize you really don't like the thing? Maybe it's just, you know, procrastination, but I have gone to Hobby Lobby and I have spent an inordinate amount of time on my makeup today for no reason. I'm just sitting in my closet. I don't know, just procrastinating. So I just want to say that if you're feeling like you don't want to do your job, I don't either. So just solidarity. Okay. All right. So we are going to read John 3, 31 through 35. I'm in the ESV. You do you. So this is John the Baptist talking. He has been talking for a while now, and his whole job was to tell that Jesus is coming and to kind of get the way ready for him. And so this is just going on from what he was saying before. So he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. Yet he who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Okay, so I think like a lot of passages of scripture, at first you're like, okay, I wonder what's going on Instagram. But let's dig in a little bit more. The Bible says his word is alive and active. Let's treat it as if it is and see what happens. Okay, so verse 31 says, he who comes from above is above all. So that's God. That's Jesus. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. You know when somebody has been with the Lord because the things they're saying, the wisdom they have, it's just really pretty phenomenal. And maybe they're not specifically wise as much as they've got this peace that can't be shaken. Like, what is going on? Because they've been with God, right? And so conversely, you can tell when somebody hasn't been because they're not those things. It made me think of, speaking of, you know, being from the earth, speaking in an earthly way, I really didn't date a whole lot of guys. I know it's hard to believe, but they were not beating down my door. And I cannot remember why I was dating this one guy and dating. I went on a date with this super not fantastic guy. I don't even know how I like got connected with him. But anyway, I remember we went to a bar and that wasn't really my scene. And so that should have been like a clue or, you know, but as soon as we walked in, he like started doing all these shots. And I was like, why am I here? Then he proceeded to talk to me about how deep he was. Like he opened the conversation with, I'm like really deep. I think if you have to explicitly say that after taking like 5 shots, perhaps that's not actually true, friend. Anyway, so when I saw the he who's of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way, I thought of my drunk, deep friend. So let's not be like him. Yeah. Going on, it says, he who comes from heaven is above all. So, I mean, pretty basic. He is above everything. I think, though, we don't always put him there. And that's not like in a judgy way. I'm talking to myself. But is he above all, you know, or is he like next to all or even underneath all? So when we read the word, we should just kind of pause at those sentences and go, oh, man, like, what do I need to take away from that? God's word is telling me that God, Jesus, above all. So is he? It kind of begs the question, is he in my life above all? I think that one area that pops out at me that's really convicting, and we all have different areas, but for me, it's how I spend my money. And it's tricky because when I spend a chunk of money, I feel super guilty about it, but it's for stuff like a haircut. Like I recently got my haircut, got some highlights. I do that twice a year, but it's expensive. So when I do it and I buy product, I'm like, whoa, that was a lot of money. But I also don't do it that much. And, you know, so it's tricky. And I'm not trying to ask you to make yourself feel bad or beat yourself up. But pause and think, is he above all? What is above him? Like, let's make a hierarchy and just see if we can't put it in the right order with him on top. Okay, verse 32 says, he bears witness, this is Jesus, to what he's seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. And by no one, he means like very few. Like, he had people who were receiving it, but largely not a popular message. So I think it's so good to remember when we feel misunderstood, opposed, rejected, we are not alone in that. Hebrews tells us we have a great high priest who fully gets all of the intricacies of the hard times of being a human being. He gets it. It's remarkably encouraging and comforting to know that. So he was rejected. He had a really solid message of redemption and salvation and peace and joy and life. And he was rejected. He gets it. He gets it when we're rejected. Okay, so verse 33 says, whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. We've all seen seals and like signet rings. I mean, maybe not like we've seen them in action or whatever, but you understand what it is. You get the concept. I remember I used to have one of those like wax things and you could seal it and on the back of a letter. That was so fun. Mainly I enjoyed melting wax on things and dripping it on paper, but still it was pretty fun too. Do the seal. It's fun to get a letter with a seal. It's just great. But setting your seal, what it did back in the day, and I know you understand this already, but it just authenticated it. Because if you had the ring that had the design and you were the only one that had it, then you knew that it was an actual letter from the actual king or something. So when we receive Jesus's testimony and we believe it and we live from that, we are the authenticating seal. Our life and our testimony and the story that he is writing as we look to him, even in all this mucky, hard things that are going on in our lives, we are the authenticating seal. So this is an opportunity for us to let God be so evident that we can be what onlookers use to prove that God is real. So let's be so yielded to what he's up to that these people have no other explanation but to say, I cannot help but believe that God is true because of what I've seen going on in this person's life. It's kind of like I have people in my life who aren't walking with God, and that's fine, but they keep coming around me and asking me questions, asking me for wisdom and asking me for advice. And part of me is like, why, if you are not living the way that you know I'm going to tell you is the way of life, why do you keep coming around? And it can be kind of frustrating, or maybe not frustrating, but confusing. But then I realize it's kind of like a moth to a flame. Like they see life. It says believers are the aroma of Christ. Like it's a good smell, right? And so people, if they're just kind of like, think of buying a car, you kind of walk around the car and look at it from all the angles and you kick the tires. I mean, I do have a question though. Do people actually kick tires? Because what's the point of that? I don't understand that. But you understand the concept. They are kind of looking at us and looking at our lives, and instead of it being confusing or frustrating that they're coming to us, what an opportunity. And if no one's coming to you, we got to wonder about that. If our lives are an authenticating seal, people should be curious, right? And again, no judgment if nobody wonders, but it's a great place to head. Live your life in such a way that people wonder, why is she so wise? Why is she so peaceful? Why does she not have a problem saying no? Why does she not talk about our friends like I do? You know, they should wonder, and we can be a seal. I loved that part. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Such a good reminder that God is gracious and he is abundantly generous with us. So when we ask, God, what should I do? Lord, what should I say? How should I respond to this? He is gonna tell us. He's not stingy. So the without measure applies to us when we ask him. So let's ask more. Okay, so verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. You know, I don't like this verse, and so I just crossed it out. Just kidding. There's a lot of verses I wish we could cross out. If you're honest, there's a lot of parts of the Bible that rub you the wrong way. And honestly, that's because of our sinful nature, unfortunately, or because it makes us uncomfortable and we think people are not going to like us. But as we saw earlier in verse 32, rejection is not the end of the world, and it's something that happened to Jesus. So don't be rejected because you're a jerk, but if you are holding to what God says is true and you're rejected, that's kind of par for the course. It happened to him too. So anyway, the idea that if you believe in the Son, you have eternal life, and if you don't, you don't have life, and God's wrath is on you. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But let me tell you, sweet sisters, that does not mean that it's not true, unfortunately. It means that if we are going to be Christ followers, we need to follow him in all the places, not just when we like it and it's warm and fuzzy. I heard a woman talk about submission, which, again, is something that we don't even like to talk about, but submitting ourselves and our wills to our higher power, which is God, that happens when you don't want to. When you want to, that's called agreement, right? And so we can agree with all that other stuff, like, oh yeah, God should be above all, and yeah, let's be the authenticating seal, but like, what? You're saying some people who don't believe in Jesus are not going to see life and have God's wrath? Never mind about that part. We really can't do that. Submission is like us putting ourselves under our authority when we don't even want to. So anyway, just wanted to say those fun words. But ultimately, our relation to Jesus determines life itself. Life now and life in the future. So I made a little chart. You obviously can't see it. But on one side, on the left side, it's with God, and on the right side, without God. Things that I pulled from these couple verses. So with God, number one, we're misunderstood and rejected. Number two, we are authenticating heaven. Number three, we have the Spirit without measure. And number four, we have eternal life. So if you picture a chart or a graph, it's up and to the right. The misunderstood, rejected being the low point. But then we get to authenticate heaven. Spirit without measure, eternal life. Like, it's not always great, but it ends great, right? And so then this other part, the other side, the without God side of the chart, I have, we're understood and we're received if we aren't speaking of things about heaven. We authenticate earthly things. Number three, you will not see life. And number four, the wrath of God is on you. So if you think about in a graph, that is definitely the opposite way. It starts fine. You're understood and you're received, and that's great. But then it, as it goes on, it's wrath and death. So anyway, just thought that was kind of interesting. I don't love ending on that, but it's where we're ending. So sorry. Let me go ahead and pray for us and pray that we won't be so discouraged by that terrible ending. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warm and fuzzy parts. And thank you for the parts we don't like. Not because I'm glad for them, but because it helps me remember that I'm not God. And as much as I think I want to be in charge, I really don't. I pray for women right now who are feeling rejected. Nobody understands them. They feel like an island. Lord, you get it. So I pray for comfort, ridiculous amounts of comfort for them. Pray that you'd strengthen their hearts, that they wouldn't just focus on the rejected feelings, but that they would be encouraged and continue on knowing that they serve a God who gets it. Lord, I pray that we would live our lives in such a way that we are the authenticating seal. God, would you bring to mind that the blind spots that we have or the sins that we've hold on to because we super like them? You'd help us to let those things go, that our lives could be so different or confusing a little bit to unbelievers that they would want to ask questions and want to come to us as the source of wisdom and peace that they're not finding anywhere else. Thank you that you're not mad at us for the times that we jack it up, and help us to get out of our own way and get on with doing the next right thing. In Jesus' name, amen.